Friends, that Luke reading along with the Micah reading is for us the word of God for the people of God. Well, I have to say, it is so wonderful to see so many of you here. And since we happen to be so close to Christmas, a lot of you have brought your families with you who've been traveling. So if you have traveled to be with us, we are extra glad that you're here this Sunday. Well, here we are in the fourth Sunday of Advent. We only have two more days until we gather here or in Edinburgh Hall for our Christmas Eve services together. Like most Decembers, this December has been a bit of a blur. Though each Sunday we have tried to slow things down and refocus on what we can find that's been hidden in plain sight. We've lit the candles of hope, peace, joy, and now today, love. These are the words that we focus on every year during Advent. They really are the values of Advent and of our life together. Did you see how these words played out in our scriptures today? In Micah, there is the hope of the expected Savior who will rule with peace. And the scene in Luke is so joyful that even baby John, still in the womb, leaps for joy. And love, well, love, that's the point of today's sermon. We're looking for love. Will you pray with me? God of love, there are so many things that catch our eye, but today, show us what you would have us see. By the power of your Spirit, whisper to us what you would have us hear. Fill us with your love, we pray. Amen. I'll start this morning with a little love story of my own. 20 years ago today, my younger son, Sam, made his grand entrance into the world. So happy birthday, Sam. I felt like I could relate to Mary that year as I spent all of Advent very great with child, wondering when I might lay eyes on this little one who had already claimed my heart. On Sundays, my robe, this robe, covered my big basketball belly week after week. And sometimes from up front, I'd suddenly scan at the congregation I was serving in. I would suddenly scan to where the exits were, planning my safety and labor plan. I would catch the eyes of the OBs in the congregation as if to subtly say, "You got me, right?" I've always felt like there's a little bit of magic that comes along with having a December birthday or a December child. There's an extra spark. And each year around this time, as we celebrate with expectation the coming of our Lord Jesus, I get to remember the waiting and watching for the birth of my beloved son. Since today is Love Sunday, I scoured our Luke passage looking for love. This is not the passage from the Gospel of John or of John's letters where we hear, "For God so loved the world that..." Wow, that did not sound very enthusiastic. Let's try that again. There's clapping later on in the service, so we need to work our way up. Okay, where we hear, "For God so loved the world that..." Thank you, that's fantastic. Or, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God." No, we don't hear the word love in our passage at all, but we see it all over the place if we look closely. So let's look. First, let's look at our backstory that takes place in the beginning of Luke's gospel. In the fifth verse of Luke's gospel, we meet Zechariah, a priest who's married to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is descended from Moses' brother Aaron. Both of them have served God faithfully and followed all of God's commandments. We learn that they have no children because both are getting on in years. An angel comes to Zechariah while he's serving in the temple and tells him that his wife Elizabeth will have a son and that they are to name him John. He is told that they will have joy and gladness and many will rejoice in John's birth. After being struck mute because he didn't believe the audacious nature of the angel's message, Zechariah returns home to Elizabeth. Elizabeth does conceive a child and stays at home in seclusion for the next 5 months of her pregnancy. Then the next month, the sixth month, in Nazareth, a town about 100 miles away from Elizabeth, the angel Gabriel is sent by God to give a young woman another audacious message. This young woman's name is Mary. Mary is engaged, but not yet married, to Joseph, and Joseph is from the house of David. Yes, that David, King David. The angel appears to Mary and calls Mary favored one, and all of this confuses Mary. She's trying to figure out what this being could possibly want with her. Then the angel gets to the point. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and bear a son and name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. Mary reminds the angel that this seems impossible since she's a virgin. The angel tells her how it will happen and that her son will also be God's son. He tells her that her elderly cousin Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant with a son and reminds Mary that nothing is impossible with God. Mary says yes to God and the angel leaves her. So here we have two impossible seeming situations, an old pregnant woman and a young unmarried teenager pregnant, and both of their sons are destined for great things. This is where our passage begins. So let's look for love together. With haste, Mary travels from her town Nazareth to a hill town 100 miles away in Judea. Remember, there were no cars, and Mary is in her first trimester of her pregnancy. She has to see for herself what's taking place. Mary shows up at the home of her cousin Elizabeth, and as soon as Elizabeth hears Mary's voice, there is this beautiful exchange. Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." Do you see it? Do you see the love? There's so much love between these two. Mary can't wait to get to her cousin Elizabeth. And when she does, Mary finds zero judgment from Elizabeth. Just kindness, affirmation, and love. Even the baby in Elizabeth's belly is full of joy and love. The interaction between Mary and Elizabeth is timeless. It's a sisterhood, a friendship among women made all the more beautiful because of its intergenerational nature. Both women are facing something very challenging, and yet both embrace one another with celebration, joy, and love. Elizabeth makes room in that moment and in their relationship for the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit leads them in love. Then we hear Mary's words. The words are often called a song. This is Mary's love song to God. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Do you see it? Mary loves how God sees her. God has looked with favor on her, even though she's God's lowly servant. She says, "From now on, generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me." This song of Mary is her love song, but it's God's also. God loved Mary before Mary could even respond. Sometimes we say those words in baptism. God loved Mary and Elizabeth in ways that make the impossible possible. The God who is in perfect triune community with God's self chose to never be without us and to use this young woman of lowly estate to bring Jesus, love incarnate, into the world. Mary continues with her love song. God hasn't just done wonderful things for her. God has loved the whole world. God has shown mercy from generation to generation. God has been strong, stronger than strong, and has a special love for those who are disadvantaged. God lifts up the lowly. God fills the hungry with good things. God makes promises and keeps them. God is the very definition of love. What would your love song to God be if you were to write one? And I encourage you to do that. What ways has God shown up for you and for the world? What is the special call that God has given you where you can show your love to the world? We ended our reading with the end of Mary's song, but the next verse goes on to say that Mary stayed with Elizabeth for another 3 months. So that is 3 plus 6, which is 9, which gets Elizabeth to the end of her pregnancy. Then Mary returns home, but their friendship and love got Elizabeth through the last several months of her pregnancy. This Love Sunday comes to us each year right around the winter solstice, when the world around is dark, literally. Yesterday was the shortest day of the year, when darkness lasts the longest. Sometimes all we can see is darkness around us. What we read about in the news or see on our phones can be very dark. But the hope of Advent and the readings of Advent invite us to take another look around. We're invited to look for what might be hidden in plain sight, or what might require us to change our perspective. It can be really easy or familiar to live with hurts of the past or to reflect on pain of people or situations that don't meet our expectations. But there is more, so much more out there. Love really is all around us. When I was talking to my other son, Eli, about this sermon, he reminded me of a passage in John when the disciples aren't catching any fish. Jesus tells them to cast their nets on the other side of the boat. And when they do, they catch so many fish that they aren't able to haul the boat in. When we go looking for love, not in all the wrong places, like the old song suggests, we find it. I want to end this sermon telling you about a handful of examples of love I've seen in our congregation at White Memorial during this Advent season. And this is really just a handful. It's not exhausted. The singers, ringers, and other musicians filled the night of Carol Fest with love in this place. To prove the point, even the song, "He Came Down That We May Have Love," was woven throughout the whole night. Our knitting ministry knitted scarves, gloves, hats, and mittens for the western part of the state and for our own Step Up Ministries. Our liturgical arts committee made beautiful banners for Advent for Edinburgh Hall, and if you haven't seen them yet, I encourage you to pop over there and look. Our youth made gingerbread houses that have served as table decorations on the tables at Shepherd's Table Soup Kitchen. The outreach committee, with your help through an Amazon wish list, has put together 300 backpacks that contain hats, gloves, hand warmers, and socks, and will be distributed to the 300 folks that eat at Shepherd's Table. And this month, 30 of you went on a field trip to visit Kings Ridge, which is set to open in January as a place where more than 100 people or families who have experienced homelessness will move into their very own apartments. White Memorial has supported Kings Ridge since its inception, and it was one of our major mission partners a couple of years ago. But because of that particular visit, we're helping to make sure all the residents have what they need to make a home. Towels, sheets, pots, pans, televisions, and other items. Other ministry partners will provide a fully stocked pantry and even include a casserole in the fridge. Dozens and dozens of you have become involved in community groups, and you love your community groups. Some of these community groups met together, and as part of that time together, they put together birthday cake baskets so that our friends at Kings Ridge can have what they need to make a birthday cake to celebrate the ones that they love. Last weekend, our deacons gathered together for a Christmas party that happened to be at my house, and the friendship, love, and joy has kept me going all week long. I've also seen the way that you all have loved one another, even in really difficult circumstances. And I think I speak for the whole staff to say, we feel your love directed at us all the time. So what have you seen? Friends, take time to look around you the rest of this Advent season, not very long, and into the Christmas season. Look especially for love. You might be surprised where you find it. Mother Teresa once said, love is a fruit in season, at all times, and within reach of every hand. Love is a fruit in season, at all times, and within reach of every hand. Look for love. It's in season right now, and the love you offer may be just what someone else needs. Amen. Thank you to our choir today, and to Kirsten and to Kathy Hart, who accompanied folks on the piano. I think if we had had one more verse, y'all know what I'm gonna say. If we had had one more verse, maybe 50% of y'all would have been clapping by the end of that. Thank you to the 1/6 of you that did. Appreciate that. I invite you to sit down for the, not yet. I invite you to sit down for the postlude. Kirsten thinks that it's something that you will really enjoy after the benediction. So let us receive our benediction. Love is a fruit in season at all times and within reach of every hand. Love is a fruit in season at all times and within reach of every hand. Dear friends, look for love. Be that love. And go in peace, knowing that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with us all this day and forevermore. Amen. You may be seated.